Happy Easter. You laugh, but it's true. We have 50 days of Easter to celebrate. You know, the narratives in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles that tell us what happened after the resurrection of Jesus and after his ascension and Pentecost are extraordinarily valuable for us living 2,000 years later. Not only because they give us sort of literary or historical evidence that Jesus really did rise from the dead, and not just because they're really amazing and inspiring and true stories, but they're also very important for us because they give us an important glimpse into the hearts and minds of the individuals and communities that made up the early church. So these were the first believers. These were the people first to witness the resurrection, first to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have this privileged look at their life to see what it was like, how things changed after they encountered the risen Lord, and what it meant for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But see, it's not just this historical account. It's also for you and for me. Because we need to encounter the risen Lord, and we need to know what it means to live by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. So let's take a look at today's gospel. I always kind of chuckle at this because it seems to me like Jesus is being a little bit funny. Or maybe he's just being sort of gentle or tender with his disciples. But, you know, they're walking along discussing probably with confusion, with, you know, not knowing what to think, talking about what has happened. And Jesus shows up to him, but they don't recognize him. He says, "What are you talking about as you go along? Are you the only guy around here who doesn't know what's been going on in Jerusalem about these things that have been happening?" And then Jesus' classic line, "What sort of things?" Here is the main character in all of this. All of this centers around him. And he says, "Oh, did something happen? You know, was there something extraordinary that happened in Jerusalem a couple days ago? Or this morning?" So, you know, of course, then they go on to tell him what went on. And then he begins to shed light upon the situation. He begins to teach them. He starts to explain how what happened was the fulfillment of all those scriptures that they are so familiar with. He explains how all of those prophecies referred exactly to him and how they were fulfilled in his death and resurrection. And then, of course, evening draws near and they arrive at Emmaus, and he makes it look like he's going on farther, but the disciples say, "Stay with us." And then in the breaking of the bread, they recognize him. And he disappears. And then they turn to each other and say, "Weren't our hearts burning within us as he talked to us on the way?" And they probably said, "How did we not realize that this was the one, that it was really him?" But weren't our hearts burning? And then that sort of compelled them, launched them into a proclamation to others of what they had experienced. We don't know if they even finished the meal they had started. It just says they set out at once. So maybe they grabbed, you know, they got a to-go bag and took it for the journey, but they couldn't help but go out back to the other disciples and tell them what had happened. So we see in this passage three important effects in the lives of the disciples of the encounter with the risen Lord. The first is that their eyes are open, they're enlightened. They start to understand. The second is that their hearts burn within them. And the third is that they went out and they couldn't help but proclaim the good news. Well, I think what is really great, I love this passage, but one of the things that is the absolute best thing about this passage is that it so clearly refers to the Eucharist. the celebration of the liturgy. I mean, it's present there, at least in its bare bones form, right? Because what happens on the way? Jesus proclaims the word to them. He explains what the word means. You know, all these prophecies. He says, here's what it meant. These are all fulfilled in what just happened in Jerusalem. Just like we gather, we hear the word of God, we hear a short explanation. And then in the breaking of the bread, they share in communion. They recognize the Lord, that he is truly present to them. And then, of course, they're sent forth. The end of Mass, what does the priest say? Go and announce the gospel of the Lord, or some version of that. So, those three effects that the encounter with the risen Lord had on the disciples should also be experienced by us when we come to Mass. And yet, sometimes we find that to be a great struggle. We don't find that necessarily our minds are blown by the readings that we heard or the homilies in explanation. We don't find every time that our hearts are stirred up with fervor. We don't find necessarily a great deal of excitement to go out and tell everyone what we just did at Mass. Sometimes it feels like we clock in a couple minutes before Mass, and we clock out a couple minutes after Mass. Some before Mass is over, unfortunately. But we kind of put in our time, and then, you know, we wait till the next time we go to Mass. But see, it's not just an ideal. It's not just an idea that we would be really inspired by the readings or really inflamed in our hearts by the Eucharist that's celebrated, or that we would go out and tell other people about this. It's not just theory. It's the whole reason that Jesus gave us the Eucharist, so that we could keep encountering him every time we come to Mass. And the scales would fall more and more from our eyes. We'd have more light and understanding of this great mystery. And that our hearts would truly be inflamed, that we would experience deeply the love of God and his strength and his mercy. And then that we would go out into the world to bring others, unite others, invite others to come and experience the same thing. So what can we do to help this experience to happen more consistently? I would just offer two suggestions, two practical points to accompany the three points before. First of all is this. We need fuller participation in the Mass every time we come. So that means understanding what's going on. How many Catholics could say, you know, could explain all of the dynamics of the Mass, all of the theology, how, you know, the priest calls down the Holy Spirit and the gifts are brought forth and, you know, the words of Christ are said and all these different things? Do we all even understand what the prayers in the Eucharistic prayer mean? You know, sometimes I pray through them and they come in my eyes and out my mouth, but not really into my heart. And sometimes I don't stop to think, what do these words really mean? So we have to delve more and more deeply into the meaning of the Mass. What is really happening here? And that's something I need to grow into. It's not something we just sort of arrive at one day and say, oh, now I get it. We keep diving into this depth that the Mass has. It's an infinite mystery, and yet the Lord reveals it to us slowly but surely. The second practical point is that we have to somehow prolong our experience of the Mass throughout the week, so that we're not just checking in for an hour every Sunday and then feeling disconnected from it the rest of the week. How do we do that? Well, I think there's some good practical things we can do. One would be to read the readings, not only before Mass, but then read them again, especially the Gospel. Read the Gospel tomorrow. Read it on Tuesday. Read it on Wednesday. See if something more jumps out at you from the page. Reflect on it. Pray. You know, just spend 5 minutes even looking over the Scriptures and asking for the light of the Holy Spirit to come and show you something. You could visit the church during the week, maybe even come to a weekday Mass one day, 1 or 2 days. You could make resolutions at the end of a Mass. Like, if the Lord speaks to you and kind of nudges you during Mass, maybe it's something the priest says or something in the readings or even something in one of the prayers that strikes you, make a little resolution. I'm going to work on that this week, and then work on it every day. So there's ways that we can stretch the celebration of the Mass from Sunday to Sunday, so that we're not just sort of dropping in and then dropping out and going on with life as normal. We want this mystery to permeate what we're doing all throughout the week. So we want to participate more fully in the Mass as it's going on, and then do what we can to allow those graces to touch our lives all throughout the week. We can ask for the grace today as we celebrate the Eucharist to have that same experience that the disciples had, that our minds and hearts would be enlightened and inflamed, and that we would go out and share the good news with others. Until we do that, we're not really living up to God's hopes for us. He wants us to be enlightened, to be inflamed with zeal. He wants us to go out and bring others in. Not just ideas. This is the reality of what we do every Sunday.